Tamika. Thank you all so much for joining me for yet another episode of Tuesday with Tamika, where you guys already know what it is. We believe in lifting as we climb, turning our trials into treasures, living a life to inspire and not impress, opening up and allowing God to fully restore all of us, and loving as if we've never been hurt. I have another exciting episode for you. And I really want you all to tune in. I want you guys to be in a space where you're able to take notes, where you're able to really listen from your heart and your soul in this episode. I feel like this one is going to be one of those things in your life that changes something, that starts something, that really unlocks and heals something. You know, I have been walking through a very difficult time. I have been doing something that the old Tamika, the unhealed version Tamika, never would have thought that I would be caring for a person that didn't care for me. But only because I allowed healing, elevation, and restoration to really seep into my life, am I able to do it. I believe that today's guest is going to even walk us further and show us how, when we're going through these dark seeds of the soul and how we're going through these really rough places and spaces in our life, how, when we lean on to God, how, when we lean on to His healing, His power, how we're able to walk through those things and, just like Daniel, walk out with not even the smell of smoke on us. I want you guys to lean into this podcast. I want you to take it serious. And I want to honor and introduce my guest, Sister Marina, Miss Marina. How are you?
Thank you so much, Tamika. This is such a pleasure, a joy, and an honor to be with you today. I think any time that we're given the opportunity to witness to what God has done in our lives, and the wonder and the glory of His love, longing to reach out and to reach in and to build, to rebuild, to renew, to not even to renew sometimes, because sometimes we've just been so totally empty, but to totally rebuild and make our lives in Him.
Mm. Yes. You know, that I love, you are the second guest that I've had that has been using those rewords, right? To restore, renew, to rejuvenate. And when we look at that, my business was built on Joel 2:28 or 2:25 that says, "And God will restore all that the cankerworm and the palmerworm has, you know, devoured." I know that when we look at restoration, it's only because we're in this hard place. Talk to us about maybe your dark seed of the soul and how God has used that to help for you to help other people when they're walking through their own dark place.
I will come to that, but can I very, very briefly?
Yes.
Demonstrate God's faithfulness. Though your father and mother forget you, I will never forget you. So even though I was a failed abortion, so I was illegitimate and not wanted, and my mother tried to abort me and failed. So that was it's a big wound. And then I was born a girl, and that was a disappointment to my mother. And then I was abused by my stepfather. Now, despite all that, I was baptized at 3 months.
Mm.
God carried me. He carried me through all of those things. And when there was the final abuse by my stepfather at the age of 9, when I was left for dead, really, because of what he'd done. And he had, in a sense, destroyed my soul.
Mm.
Nevertheless, although there was a dark time of depression immediately after that, which my sister has told me about, he then led me into my mind and gave me a will to live through learning. So I went from being sort of middle to bottom of the class to top of the class within 2 years. And so in England at that time, you took exams at 11 to go to a grammar school or an ordinary school. And I passed to a high level school. So he enabled me eventually through a boyfriend, because my mother couldn't support me. She just got dinner. And I was enabled eventually to go into teaching. And, he made me, I can remember the Holy Spirit teaching me in the middle of a lesson, or, when I was having difficulties with children, and into my mind would come what I needed to do. I mean, really, he led me and fed me and upheld me and blessed me. But I got to the point where I was exhausted. I'd been led to do a master's degree and a PhD, invited to do a PhD. And then he needed to bring me back to faith, because the man I was living with, my husband, had been unfaithful and I'd left him. Mm. And then I was living with somebody, and then he didn't want to marry me. And it was then I just knew I couldn't live in that situation. I was baptized, remember.
Mm-hmm.
I was crying on my bed, and he called me back to faith. He called for my name. And I didn't immediately think, oh, there's God. Because truthfully, I didn't actually have God in my vocabulary. He was in here, but I didn't know.
Wow.
I didn't really know. I hadn't been living in the church faith. I had taken on board 3 Quaker precepts when I was a young teacher that I'd sent for details. There is that of God in all people, moderation in all things, and serving man is serving God.
Mm.
So those were the 3 things that had kept me on the straight and narrow. But here I was, on my own and just exhausted. I didn't know what to do with all this stuff inside.
Mm.
So he had to bring me back into the church. He had to enable me to know the love of Christ within me. And that's what he did. He through some students at the Polytechnic, I was head of the department at, they were praying for me and kept witnessing to Jesus, and then were bringing me prophecies. So they gave me the prophecy from Isaiah, which is not a very comfortable one to have, but the one from, I think, I can't remember if it's 46 or 43, where it says, I never read this, or I could never take this bit in. It says, because you are blessed and honored in my name, pass through the waters, you will not be drowned. Though you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. And then it goes on to say, and you will be my witnesses. So, he's been working that through me for quite a long time. But that was the prophecy that these students gave me when they were praying for me.
Wow. Out of the mouth of babes, right? Like, oh my goodness. As you were speaking, I begin to get emotional and get teary-eyed, because I think, I know I can only speak for me, and maybe the listening audience can agree. There's so many times that things come to my mind, and while I'm in a lesson, while I'm in a coaching session, while I'm at a school and I'm speaking, and I don't know, like, innately, I know that it's the Holy Spirit, but I sometimes neglect to give him the honor and the thanks that's due his name, because I don't know, like, on my own, I'm not really that great, right? I'm not really that bright. I'm not really that inventive or powerful, but with him, he is able. Sometimes the things that come out of my mouth, and then people will say, wait, say that thing again. And I'm like, I don't even know what I said, because it was. So thank you for sharing that piece, because it really stopped me in my tracks and made me think we have to give God the honor for all, even the hard things, right? Nothing's wasted. Sometimes we think that abuse that we suffered as a child, that abandonment, that rejection, you know, sometimes we wonder what was that for, but you are a living testimony that it's all for His glory. And it's all for us to witness to other people of God's glory.
Exactly. And I mean, for me now, I can honestly, although I'm going through something at the moment, I don't know exactly what it is, but I can honestly say, glory to God for the trials. I love being obedient to the word. And of course, St. Peter says, you know, rejoice in the trials. Well, it took me quite a long time to actually, you know, be able to do that now, because, you know, first of all, it means I've got to lean on God more. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I embrace the cross, and I rejoice that it's His responsibility.
Yeah, yeah.
To bring me through, and then I be a witness in the situation. Why aren't you worried? Well, I'm just leaning on God. Why should I be worried? He's going to see me through all the mess.
Yeah.
And just being able to walk lightly amid, you know, things going on.
Yeah.
First of all, there's no fear. No strain. I just trust that God is going to bring me through because He said He will.
That's it. And it's like believing God because He said He will, right? And He's always been faithful. He's faithful and just to perform everything that He says He will. I want to go back a step because I was having a conversation with someone earlier this week and we were talking about forgiveness, right? And she was saying, I don't feel like people should push forgiveness on other people. And I just allowed her to have her moment. But as I hear you telling your story about your mother attempting to abort you and then the abuse that you suffered at the hands of her boyfriend and her not having the capacity or the ability or maybe even the desire to love you the way that you deserve to be loved, how did you walk out forgiveness? How would you even encourage other people to walk out forgiveness if they're dealing with similar things?
Well, let me just say that I was aware. I can't remember when I started to be aware, but I was aware that God was a God of love and He wanted me to love, but He didn't love me. Now, I came to an understanding of that just in the last 2 years. But I've been aware of that for quite a long time. And so when I actually came to an awareness of all the trauma that I'd suffered, it didn't immediately happen. But one of the one of the most beautiful things that happened when I was trying to please God, because I tried to please everybody. And I was, you know, I was doing my Bible study and, you know, and I just heard God say, I want the truth. And I said, but I'm miserable. You won't want me if I'm miserable. And He said, try me. I said, but what shall I do if I'm miserable? So he actually told me to go to the bookshop in the village, and he led me by, you know, I was sitting, the man who was in charge, because his wife wasn't there that day, he said, oh, why don't you go and sit in the library and I'll bring you a cup of coffee. And I sat down, and there was a bookshelf of library books, and one of them went ping at me, as they do. And it was Tozer, I can't remember his surname. Is it W. Tozer? I can't remember. Anyway, Tozer, T-O-Z-E-R. Pursuit of God. I think it was that one anyway. It's certainly one of Tozer's. I took it off the shelf and I read for 2 hours.
Wow.
And at the time, I wasn't miserable and I knew exactly what I needed to do. What I'm really trying to say is that I've started to learn to be honest with God. don't pretend. One of the things that I've taught, that God taught me, and I've taught my people that I serve, is there are two really crucial prayers in this process. One is, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief.
Mm.
So, you know, in the whole process, you may have, you know, this much belief, and even if it's that much unbelief, it doesn't matter. Go to God with the little bit of belief, mustard seed of belief, and say, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And this is one that was actually said to Jesus, so it is there. But the other one is about the will, because God can't do anything to help you if your will is facing the opposite way.
Mm.
Let's say this is God. Things without reason. So here's God. But we've got our back to him because we're not. But if we are able and willing to say, Lord, I am willing to be 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 willing to do your will, we've turned to face him. And I remember relatively recently doing this, and I felt the Holy Spirit as I turned from total rejection of God's way and God's will to turning and being willing to be willing to be willing. That's all he needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we're facing him, and then we're open to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So in terms of forgiveness, I also pray, Lord, I forgive, help thou my lack of forgiveness. So the thing is, we can't do it on our own.
That's right.
And that's why, I mean, for me, I lean, trust.
Yes. One of my very favorite scriptures is Proverbs 3:5-6, is lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways. And I think sometimes people may think that I'm childish in my belief or my, because I literally trust God like how my children trust me. You know, I could tell my children, oh my gosh, let's go outside. The sky just turned purple. And they will all run after me because they trust me, you know, and because they're not leaning to their own understanding that in all the years they've been alive, the sky has only been blue. That's how I think God wants us to be with him. He wants us to have this childlike faith, lean trust.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love St. Paul because I was, you know, I'd been a head of department. I was, you know, whatever. But I had to let go of all my stuff.
You know? Yeah.
And so I went through St. Paul with a fine tooth comb. And, you know, because everybody in the church I was in was a sort of belief that St. Paul was a misogynist. He wasn't. He loved the Lord. And, you know, it's him that says, in Christ is neither male nor female.
Mm-hmm.
Where else do you find it?
That's it.
So I came to love St. Paul and his words and his teaching. And he says, you know, the Lord said to him, in your weakness, this was to St. Paul, is my strength. So I have had to come to recognize I am very dyslexic.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that I am talking coherently and blah, 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 is a miracle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm speaking from my human self. I couldn't speak as a child. But if I'm speaking from my human part in a new dimension, and it's something that I haven't spoken before, I can't get words out. I'm stuttering. So, you know, I have got weak.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, I've got more coherence in my mind now than I had when I was doing my PhD in many ways.
Wow.
Because the Lord has set me free in so many ways. But for him.
For him.
At the start, then the head can turn.
Yeah.
Most of my speaking I do from my heart.
Mm. And you can feel it because I have these stupid eyelashes on and this makeup on my face, and I am trying with my all not to cry right now because I can literally feel the love of God pouring from your heart as you speak. And I think people think that it has to look a certain way, feel a certain way, be a certain way. But when there's a scripture in the Bible that says our spirits will recognize one another, and I recognize that you have totally, and what I hear God saying is surrender, surrender, surrender. And I see your surrender.
But I hear, and I loved when I saw your written words, that whole, this is what we all need to be. And yeah. For me, the Magnificat and the Beatitudes are what we all should be eating, drinking. See what I mean? Eating, drinking, sleeping.
Consuming and doing, right? Like that, it's, oh my gosh, you're bringing back so many memories. Because when I was a young girl, those are my favorite scriptures, you know, the Beatitudes. And I remember every Easter, as we're coming up on Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, I would always want my speech to be something about the Beatitudes, because even as a young girl, I didn't understand it, and all the trauma I went through and all the rejection and abandonment. I knew that if I just, like you said, if I loved people, and I love people to a fault, you know, and if I serve people and if I do this, I know that I was in a place at one point of trying to do it to get God to see me, to like mark off some imaginary list of like, oh, you're a good girl now. But it always reminded me that if I do this unto God, right? If I do this unto God and for his glory, everything else is going to work out. It's all going to be fine. I want to talk about this concept because we've mentioned it a couple of times, but I'm not sure if people understand. So I would like for you to break down the concept of the dark seed of the soul.
Oh, night of the soul, we call it.
Night of the soul, okay.
I want you to imagine the human being, right? And we are made in the image of God. So we have a divine seed in us. Mm-hmm. And we're human, as Christ was. And when we come to Christ, we are blessed with his spirit. And we're carried, and we're, you know, we become fruitful, and, you know, it's all easy to begin with. Mm-hmm. But God wants us to love him for himself. Not because of what we've been given.
Mm.
And just to reinforce this, I was in Switzerland on living for Christ. And by some, I don't even know how it happened to this day, I was with somebody's brother, and he asked me to go and help him learn how to show me how to iron a shirt. It wasn't a come on or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And before I did that, for some reason we started praying. Mm-hmm. And he was praying in tongues. So I started praying in tongues. Then he stopped praying in tongues and I was still praying. And then I stopped and we finished. And our only common language was French. So he said to me, I didn't know that you spoke Hebrew. I said, I don't speak Hebrew. Mm-hmm. And you were speaking Hebrew.
Wow.
You want to know what you said? Of course I did. And he wrote it down in French. And basically, it said, I will give back to you. So this is me speaking in tongues to God, right? I will give back to you all you gave me.
Mm.
And that was the beginning of the giving up, the surrendering all my, you know, head of department, all my, you know, PhDness and all that sort of stuff to come back to my brokenness.
Mm.
So the point about the dark night of the soul is that we've known all that, you know, all the grace and the trust and the love and the faith, but God wants us to give it to him freely. So we have to face and are challenged by the human aspect of ourselves that suffered.
Yeah.
Now he carried us through them. But now we have to allow him and his grace, his spirit. So in my strength is your weakness.
Mm-hmm.
So as we face, as we're challenged by the Lord with our trials daily, to re-examine, to renew our faith in trust and hope. But this is why, in the end, this is why the Lord says to, I think it's the Lord says to St. Paul. Or St. Paul says it anyway. In the end, is faith, hope, and love.
Yes.
So instead of all the miracles and the blah, 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 you know, being all this and that and the other, we stand in humility, in faith. Lord, I'm just trusting that you're going to carry me through this day and that everything I say will be to your praise and glory.
Yeah.
I am going to hope. The other night, I didn't have hope. He is so beautiful. I was exhausted. I'd been serving and loving and everything all day. And I was going to bed. And I just felt totally empty. And I said, Lord, I don't mind doing all these things. Honestly, I don't. I'm very happy to serve and to love through your grace. But, you know, sometimes in my humanity, I am empty and I would like a Jesus with skin on to encourage me. And into my mind came, before you ask, you will receive. And I was going about to be very holy in relation to my phone and not pick it up before I went to bed. But my left hand picked it up and went to WhatsApp. And there was a beautiful message from a nun friend of mine. I know, not only asking me how I was, but a little video of the lost sheep. Not a video, a cartoon film.
Uh-huh.
It was exactly what I needed.
Wow.
It was the answer. I'd been asking the Lord what he should put in the post I had to do the following morning. And I was able to tell this story and talk about the fact that all of us have a lost sheep at times. Bits of us that have not come to the fore, that need the saving grace of the Lord. So, you know, it's that mystery of journeying in faith, hope, and love, but not despairing that we're not what we were before.
Mm-hmm.
Where many pastors just fall down because they think that they've sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Stand in faith, hope, and love.
Mm-hmm.
After love, but in his strength, by his strength. And that's why we have to all the healing. When the Lord led me to listen to my pain, just 20 years down the line, you know, really living for him, I had to listen inside. And this is why I think it is so crucial to not run away from your pain. But listen, let it come to the fore. Then you can forgive And even if you're not very good at forgiving, you know, even if it doesn't feel whole, say, Lord, I forgive, help thou my own.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one that I found very helpful is blessing your enemies.
Yes.
If you've not asked for forgiveness, don't forgive them. It's not appropriate, but bless them.
Wow.
And that changes their heart. It changes yours as well.
Wow. That is so profound. You know, I posted a few years ago, forgive those that are not even sorry. But I love that. That's inappropriate. I love what you said to bless those that you're not ready to forgive, because that God does that to us every single day, right? When we don't repent or we don't do, he still blesses us with the breath in our body, with the insight, with the movement of our limbs, with all of those things. So that's so true. There was something that you said that really sparked something, and I'm, oh Lord, bring it back to my remembrance. It'll probably come back around, but I want, because you, the beautiful work that you do, you also have written a book and you also help people, 3 books, yes, with the dyslexia. And you are, again, you're living proof that, you know, no matter what the labels that society puts on you, if you put your trust and faith in God, he is faithful and just to see all of those things through. So you've written 3 books and you are somewhat of like a spiritual advisor, a spiritual coach, and you help people through these hard times and these difficult earthly, natural things that we're going through. And I do believe that none of us are, oh, what's the word? We're not, it's not going to escape us. We're going to have some pain and trauma in life. It's just a part of the human experience. But I would love for you to tell the TWT family, because I can just already sense that they're hungry for more. They want to know how to go deeper with you and the work that you're doing. So I would love for you to share a little bit about your book, your most recent book, and then also how can folks that are looking for someone that can navigate them through these painful situations and get on the other side of hope, love, and faith, how do they get in contact with you?
Well, the program I have is called The Lifted Journey. Mm-hmm. That's on my Facebook profile. The books are what God used to help me own my journey.
Mm-hmm.
The lifted journey is based on these 3 books. The first one is called, it comes back to what you say in your list. Treasures of Darkness.
Yes.
Facing the pain and finding the light. And I am quite sure that you'll the exact verse from Isaiah that the treasures of darkness come from, but I can't remember. But anyway, so that's the first one. And that is essentially the poetry and God's word to me that I wrote when I was old. It's like being squeezed into this place by God to listen to my pain, and as the pain was brought up by the Holy Spirit from the darkness, it just was such a gift. All I can say, it was a gift. I'm with the bit of my mind that knew His word, I'd say, but Lord, you want me to, you know, be forgiving, I'm willing, you know. And then because I was willing, he would do things in me.
Mm.
Written in there. It was an amazing experience. There's a lot of repentance, a lot of forgiving, and a lot of the pain that children suffer.
Mm-hmm.
that blocks us from faith open up. Because we blame God.
Yeah.
Blame ourselves. And then we don't want to relate to ourselves. It's so important. God often, I once said to him, is there anything that stops me receiving your love? And he said, yes, you conceive of me as a man. Well, that's one. But we have to remember Christ was human and we have to own our humanity and our divinity. And I think in this, that's what this led to, this, the first book, so that in the end, I was not listening to the pain of the human in me. I was sharing the pain with my with Christ after the salvation of the world. So it was turned into prayer for others who were suffering. Hear that? So yeah. That, you know, when you work, am I allowed to mention what you mentioned to me earlier?
Yes, yes, of course.
One of the things he led me to was then your will be done. And when we're serving God, our trauma is, you know, it's pushing our boundaries. I'm sure you know the Jabez prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I live with Jabez prayer. And I lived with Jabez prayer. But it does extend our boundaries.
Yeah. I'm
calling on Christ. Mm-hmm. So as we move into in faith and trust and hope, in love, in his love to serve, all human expectations disappear. And you will find, because I'm sure that you too, when you're going into a situation, you ask the Father to go ahead.
Yes.
And the same will happen, you know, with the situation that you're being invited into. Miracles will happen, my darling.
Oh my goodness. I can sit and listen to you all day and speak with you because you are truly, you're a woman of God. You're God's, you know, and I am so blessed that you blessed this platform.
Sweetheart, I truly believe that he's doing this.
Mm-hmm. He definitely is. And, you know, it's, I don't know why. I don't know how, but I know why, because I know that there's someone listening. And, you know, I used to say, even if it's just one, and I think that that is our way of being humble, but I believe that God has given us something that reaches thousands and that reaches millions because people are so hungry for him. So before we leave this podcast, I just want to tell everyone listening, put your hope and trust in God. Lean not into your own understanding. The word of God says in Romans, if you confess in your mouth and believe in your heart, that's all he's waiting for. He will do the rest. The infilling of the Holy Ghost will come. All of the gifts and the callings will come. Just put your trust in him. Just know that he died for us. He rose again and that he loves you. By his stripes, you are healed. That trauma that you walk through, he bore it on the cross over 2,000 plus years ago. So open up and let him into your life and into your heart. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. TWT family, we will have all of Marina's books, the links for you to order her books, the links for you to join her programs, the links for her Facebook group, and all the ways for you to get in contact with her in the show notes. Make sure that you connect because I know that this podcast has touched you immensely. I know that there's something that was said that resonates with your heart and your soul. Until next week, I honestly love you all and I want to thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.